What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Jared from the host of the Lang and Legend Podcast. And you need news and interviews. Thank you for tuning in. Today I got a special guest coming on the show. Someone I've been watching for a while. He finally agreed to do the show. Mr. Zach French. You know him as the Gaming Grunt. Welcome to the show, sir.
Appreciate it, man. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on. So let's get right into it. Give people a little bit of background about yourself, sir.
For sure, yeah. So, look, diehard Saints fan. I was born and raised in Slidell, Louisiana. I graduated from Slidell High in 2014. Right after that, I enlisted in the Army. I got out last year, did 8 years in the infantry active duty. So, you know, business-wise, I'm in the I do defense contracting for my full-time job. And then over the last 4.5 years, started running a page, The Game of Grunt, over on Facebook that originated as sort of just me and my friends playing Madden. And then it's just really blossomed into – an entire community, you know, including a whole lot of Saints talk. So, like, I'm happy to be here, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Appreciate your service, man. Yeah. So let's get right into it, man. So what made you want to get into the content creation field?
I'm looking for more unapologetic opinionists, right? Especially when it comes to, like, the New Orleans Saints. As you know, right, everybody before 2009, well, not everybody knows, but probably you will know. Before 2009, I think it was just as common to find a 49er fan or a Cowboy fan in New Orleans as it would be to find a Saints fan, you know? And so just since then, I think there's been a lot of people in the media that kind of just apologize for the team. And there's almost like a fear to offend anybody. You noticed it with Sean Payton. He's used to, you know, kind of the media kind of working in his favor. And, you know, these post-game interviews after that 70-point loss, that Denver media didn't let him get away with these cheap little beating around the bush answers. Like, I got to look at tape. It's no, hold up. You're like, no, what's going on? And so there's not any of that in New Orleans. And so I think I wanted to come in, like I said, just creating Madden, doing it with my friends, kind of just having that community feel, something bigger than myself. And it branched into, look, I want to be a voice for the fans. I want to be a voice for the voiceless. I like to be passionate. And that's where I came from, man. If I can bring that originality by making somebody smile, then, you know, it's all worth it. So,
yeah, man, I appreciate that, man, because we need that, especially for our 2-2 Saints. But before we get into the Saints, that's going to be a passionate discussion about that. Let's talk about what made you start streaming on Madden online. People are still unfamiliar with streaming gaming online. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. So I started watching a lot of Madden streamers. I grew up playing the video game. That's always been a classic in my household. It's just been Madden, right? You load up that, and 2K has just kind of been the go-to growing up for me. But Madden especially. And then in, was it 2018, I started watching Madden players on Facebook Gaming. They started Facebook Gaming around with TD Barrett. He's a big YouTuber and things like that. So on Facebook, there was this guy named Timmy Two-Turn and Experts Corner. He's still on there. And essentially what these guys did is they played viewers in their chat on this Facebook live stream. They'd play Madden. They'd have their cam at the bottom right. And then viewers would tune in. They would load up. They'd play them live on stream. And then in the meantime, they're talking about sports. And so I kind of just loved that adaptation, I think, to, because of course, you know, about there's video game streamers that do, you know, Call of Duty, things you've heard of Twitch. The Facebook side, I think, was more of a podcast feel where the gaming came secondary and it was more talking about sports while something was going on in the screen. I really loved that. I wanted to kind of add my own twist to it. And that's where it kind of got all started. I started a page where I would play Madden with a few other Saints fans. We would talk about the Saints. People come through, is during the COVID years especially, they're like, hell yeah, let's talk about the Saints from the good, you know, from the comfort of their home. And it, you know, really turned into something special. And in that time, we've gained about 22,000 followers over on Facebook. And then we've really expanded to YouTube, Twitch, Instagram over the last year or so. And it's become more than gaming, I think, is where the huge thing is. Yeah, it's grown. It starts as gaming, but it's grown beyond that.
Okay. So now that since you started your Madden gaming, what type of technology do you use to capitalize on streaming? Because people might be unaware that streaming, you can make a profit from all the views mm-hmm. that you receive. Yeah. You talk a little bit about that?
About the profit part, or like, what do you mean?
Oh, you know, just getting, yeah, let's talk about the profit. Yeah, the business side of streaming.
The business side of it. Yeah, of course. So there's definitely a huge business side, right? So one great highlight that I was going to bring up is, I'm sure you're familiar with Team Gleason. So I've worked with them a lot, especially through COVID. I was their first like real digital event, and they're really one of their only fundraiser events during that peak COVID year. And so what I was able to do is, it's like, yeah, it's just playing Madden, but like you said, there's a lot of money involved, a lot of business side to it as well. And between the years of 2020 and then eventually into a huge event I hosted in person, where I did an in-person Madden stream for Team Gleason, we've raised a little over $20,000 for Team Gleason, just through donations, just through, I mean, you look at it the same as like maybe a street performer in New Orleans, right? Like you're performing a service and then people are donating, right? But beyond that, there's also, we've worked with different, you know, different catering companies across the city, just different small businesses to kind of give them a platform, as well as different ways to support. You can go over to the Facebook, there's the subscription button where, you know, I stream the game for in my Discord. Every Saints game, it's cheaper than NFL ticket. I stream the games every Sunday for people in my Discord that are supporters, things like that. But trust me, if I did it for the money, I'd be hungry. But there's money involved too, but I think it's about the community aspect of it for sure.
I feel you on that. I feel you on that, especially about getting into
especially right now, man.
Oh, man, it's crazy. Okay, so why Madden? Why not Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto? Why Madden?
I guess it's because Madden is one of those games to where it's not necessarily, I've always found that when you're playing Madden with somebody, like it's not necessarily another gamer, right? Like I guess I'll put it like this. I grew up as a gamer for sure, but it's mostly been like, it's more been casual. I think Call of Duty is more like hardcore gaming, things like that. What I like about Madden is like, I mean, I could have an uncle pop in Madden and play a little bit, right? Cause he might suck, but there's conversation there. It's not, what is this Call of Duty? It's football, you know? So I think I've just loved the simplicity of it. It's easy to pick up for anybody. What is it? It's easy to be good, but hard to be great. Kind of one of those kind of games. And I like that. I work a lot. I mean, I don't have time to put 10 hours into practicing my aim. And it's just one of those games I can pick up, be naturally okay at, and let the conversation flow.
I feel you on that. Like, Madden controls really don't change that much over the years. So it really is a simple game to master if you haven't played it in a while. Let's talk about as far as the content creation, the gaming. You said you referenced earlier about giving an unbiased opinion about the Saints. So currently, right now, Saints are 2-2. A lot of people are upset about what the offensive coordinator, the offensive line, the offense in general. The defense has been pretty good. But they've pretty much been getting tired since the offense is not scoring, not primarily not getting to the red zone. What are your thoughts about the Saints organization, and what should they do to resolve these issues?
I think the problem starts with Pete Carmichael. I think it's been kind of the same. It's been the same tune that I think the whole Houdat Nation has been hitting this week, especially. If you go back, I've been complaining about Pete Carmichael since the year before Drew Brees retired. Like, I mean, I've been complaining about Pete Carmichael for a while. And then if you look at the numbers, you break it down, I've been kind of preaching it all week, like a lot of people have. But since Pete Carmichael took over the reins as the play caller, and I think it was 2020, you look at the Saints in the final year with Drew Brees, you're talking 30 points per game. You drop off to 20 points per game to 17.7 points per game last year, and that was with Andy Dalton. And then this year, you bring in a $140 million quarterback. He's the sixth quarterback in, 3 years? And then you're averaging now 15.5 points per game through 4 weeks. And I think the way you have to look at that, you also have to look at the doubt too from the front. It's not just us. They might be pretending like, oh, we're not making any changes. It's only through 4 weeks. Then why did you bring in Eric Bieniemy for so long? I mean, they had him in for two different visits. They had like a 4-hour dinner. Obviously, he wasn't taking a head coaching job. He became OC over in Washington. So I think even they know there's an issue with play calling. But maybe they gave Dennis Allen another year to pick the quarterback for PC, things like that. But I think square one is going to be finding a new play caller. You have Curry out there. They keep talking him up. He's supposed to be this huge offensive mastermind. But I think if you don't remove Pete Carmichael before the end of the year, I know the Saints don't really do this, but I'd say if you head into 2024 with Pete Carmichael and you're Dennis Allen, you're both gone, if that makes sense. Either PC's gone next year or they're both gone. I think that's kind of the situation. And then on the defensive side of the ball, like you said, they're gassed, right? But Marcus May also hasn't been playing. And then Jordan Howden, he got torched, a couple weeks ago, really. But he at least held his own a little bit. And he didn't even play this past week. So you had Lonnie out there. Nothing against Lonnie. He's got a good pick. He had a drop this past week. I got a lot of love for Lonnie Johnson. But when you look at the talent, right, who you're going against, right, you gotta have star power on the field in that secondary, and especially when they're getting gassed. So Marcus May not being there is a huge gap, and just the safety position as a whole, I think, are bad. Marcus May had what, a pick week one, and then led in tackles through the first 2 weeks of the season. So he's a presence in that secondary, and him being gone, I think that's the biggest factor defensively.
Okay, so I agree with everything you just said. So it really didn't debate about that. But what I've noticed recently, since we signed Derek Carr, is that it's been maybe a rift. I don't know if you noticed it, between some Saints fans wanting Derek Carr, some Saints fans wanting Jameis Winston to start. So what is your opinion on that? Because me personally, I wouldn't have signed Derek Carr for a 4-year, $150 million contract. If we want to bring another quarterback like him, I would give him maybe like a 2-year contract, shorter deal, not as much money guaranteed, and we don't have to be so invested into him right now. So what is your opinion about the quarterback situation at this moment in time?
Yeah, see, what you just said makes sense, which is probably why they didn't do that. See, so I agree with you. And I was preaching for months that Derek Carr is not the answer. Everybody's hit me with, well, you know, he's had the 32nd ranked defense through 9 years and this, that, and the third. And I understand Derek Carr has potential. You want to dream and look at Matt Stafford and how he switched teams and won a Super Bowl year one. And you find Derek Carr in a similar position, but Derek Carr doesn't have the arm power like Matt Stafford has. Derek Carr he has similar numbers heading into this year. It's comparable to Stafford heading into his first year with the Rams. So I understand, but I still think they're two entirely different quarterbacks. Matt Stafford is kind of the guy that can make a play under pressure. And I think Derek Carr is the kind of quarterback who thinks he can make a play under pressure. And that's been the whole complaint with Jameis Winston, right? If we wanted a guy to take sacks, force plays, like, we could have done that for $8 million instead of 60 per year. You know, like, we could have done that for, instead of $140 million, we could have done that for $8 million. And that's been my argument with Jameis. It's not that I think Jameis is a better quarterback than Derek Carr. You know, my whole argument with Jameis is that he was given the short end of the stick, especially last year, because he is clearly better than Andy Dalton. Now, the argument if he's a better fit for that offense last year is, you know, that's a whole different conversation for a different day. But I think the Jameis Winston situation has been handled poorly by the whole coaching staff. Obviously, he's not too offended because he's still there. But when it comes to who I think the right decision is at quarterback, it doesn't matter who you put in center. We've already talked about this. As long as we have Pete Carmichael, six quarterbacks should tell you something, the same results, right? But we already paid him.
Right.
You got to have Derek Carr start. There's no bring Jameis Winston in now, and I think a lot of people are confusing that. And it's more so just anger from people who wanted Jameis. Not, you know, because that's one of me. Like, not that I wanted Jameis because I thought he was going to get us more wins than Derek. It's that you bring in Jameis, you draft a guy like Aiden O'Connell, who is who I wanted the Saints to draft, and he's looking okay with the Raiders, right? Out of Purdue, Drew Brees really loves Aiden O'Connell. I mean, he worked with him. Aiden O'Connell was the whole reason he went over there for that bowl game to help with their offense, right? So I like Aiden O'Connell. He kind of would fit that mesh that the Saints like to run, that West Coast scheme. So I was hoping that you bring Jameis in on a 2-year deal worth about $8 million a year. You draft a guy like Aiden O'Connell or Jay Kaner, who they did. I like him too, out of Fresno. And then you work with that. And if neither guy works out after a year or two, you're going to have more cap space at that time because you'll be able to get out some of these contracts, like with Cam, with DeMario Davis. I love these guys, but these are contracts that you're going to eventually have to get out of. And at that point, you'll have more capital. You'll have a couple of draft picks you've at least tried out for cheap, low risk, high reward type of situation. And then you can make a decision. Now, I'm sorry, I'm rambling, but it's a big topic, bro. And especially with Derek Carr,
right?
Like, it was a forced decision. I think it was a desperation signing by Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen knows this is the last year him and Pete Carmichael had together. He's like, what do I do? I'm going to go get Joe Woods because I know him. That's a great hire. Love Joe Woods. I'm going to go get Doug Marrone because it'll keep Saints fans happy because he has experience with that O-line. I'm going to go get Jimmy Graham. What, last year he signed Jarvis Landry. He's going to make all the Saints fans happy. He's going to help Mickey Loomis sell some tickets. And he's going to get a quarterback that's good enough to hopefully win the division. But do I think that he went and signed Derek Carr because he legitimately thought he'd won him a Super Bowl? I just find that hard to believe based off the money he paid him. You can't, like, that's ridiculous. Like, how much money is Baker Mayfield making? How much money is Jimmy Garoppolo making? You know, that's
exactly.
$140 million is, it's top 10 money, and we're getting top 24 play. That's where I'm at with
Exactly. And I agree with you 100%. Like, I would have preferred to see Winston get the start since he was injured the last two seasons and he never got a full season, and we never got to see how he really performed in a full season. But when they signed Derek Carr, I was like, okay. But when I found out how much they signed him for, I was like, what? That's just That's just idiotic right there. So I agree with you about getting rid of Pete Carmichael, like, right now. I don't know why Dennis Allen. I appreciate him being loyal, because I guess he remember being in the same situation. But at the same time, if you don't get rid of Pete Carmichael, you'll be out the door. So,
yep.
Other than that, let's get back into more Saints talk. So, we up. Next game is up against the New England Patriots. I think we'll fare with them. I believe they're either 2-2 or 1-3. They're not looking as good as well. So, how do you think we will be this weekend in New England?
Saints historically do pretty decent against the Patriots. Especially when we played Mac Jones last. I think Mac Jones looked lost, and that was during his good year. This year, I mean, you saw how bad he looked. He scored like 3 against the Titans. I mean, that was Bill Belichick's biggest margin loss at half and his biggest margin loss ever. I mean, it's pretty – and then beyond just Mac Jones failing to perform, just that clear hostility that's going on between him, the coaching staff, and the locker room, he's starting to get forced out. It started to look like the Danny Dimes situation. Like, he's like great value Daniel Jones. You know how bad you have to be great value Daniel Jones? That's how I view Mac Jones, right? And so I think us going into this matchup, it's favorable in our part. I said going into this week, we were in a tough position. I didn't expect to win this week against the Bucs. I expected a strong contest. I expected more than 9 points. Shit, I expected at least one touchdown. But, I think this is going to be our most favorable matchup so far this year on paper for that offense.
Okay. I agree. But you never know. You got to pick up Pete Carmichael calling the offense. We'll have to see. So speaking of Pete Carmichael again, what do you think the issue is? Because I've noticed that when it comes to crucial big plays, like a crucial big third down, like, for example, he goes 3rd and 5, and he tries a Hail Mary pass or go for it all, touchdown, deep, instead of just trying to get the first down. Or you think, is he trying to emulate a Sean Payton type of call and scheme? He keeps using Taysom Hill so goddamn much. I don't understand why he keeps using him so much, even though he's a great player. But I know defenses already know once he lines on the center, 9 times 10, he's going to run the ball. So what are your thoughts about
So I think with Pete Carmichael, he has more control now than ever. And I always said this, and I before Sean Payton left, look, Pete Carmichael was the yin, okay? And then Sean Payton was the yang with the bang, right? So Pete Carmichael's always been a very conservative play caller. It's never been the difference. You go back and look, you know when the last time, Jared, that the offense struggled this much?
No.
It was when Pete Carmichael stood in for head coach for that interim year when Sean Payton was out. So if you go back and look, the Saints, I think, averaged like 8. Yeah, that was a terrible year. That was an awful year for the Saints offense. That was Drew Brees posted the worst numbers of his career in every category that year. And guess what? Pete Carmichael was the head coach that year, and he was in charge of offensive play calling, right? So I've always just said that he's always been conservative, but Sean Payton's been always overly aggressive. He wants to go for it. I mean, you think Pete Carmichael would have called an onside kick in the Super Bowl? Hell no. That's where Sean Payton came in. They complimented each other. But you know who the most conservative type of head coach is? It's a defensive head coach. So now you have Dennis Allen, who has a very win-in-the-trenches mindset, a very 1990s mindset, because that's the mindset of defensive coaches. And then you have Pete Carmichael, who may as well be. You know, Pete Carmichael has served as value. I don't want Pete Carmichael fired. I want him fired from his current position. He's been phenomenal with wide receiver development, with even quarterback development. He hasn't been so bad. I mean, look at some of the offensive players that the Saints have turned from nobodies into somebodies. That's in big part to Pete Carmichael. He does phenomenal with player development, but that's kind of where I think his job should start and end. But he's kind of being thrown. I think he's wearing a lot of hats right now. He doesn't understand how to stay balanced. You see him on 3rd and 2, and he's not hitting sticks. He's going for 20-plus yard passes, like you just mentioned. You see him. I mean, we have one of the worst red zone efficiency rates in the league. Huge shout-out to the Giants for helping us out with that last night by ruining a few, but – we're down there, you know, because you get – if you look at the pass-to-run ratio, you know, for teams that are normally successful in the red zone, we're doing the opposite. We're trying to outthink the opponent. We're on the 19-yard line, and we're throwing 3 passes in a row, a quarter pocket of the end zone, and Derek Carr's overthrowing them because it's double coverage. Like, they're just – they're forcing passes, and I think Derek Carr's throwing more passes into coverage than he has accurately into the end zone when he's in the – and I think you see that frustration from him. And I think that's, once again, comes back to Pete Carmichael's, the way he's trying to dial up these routes. he's trying to go off of last year being too conservative. Well, now it's, whoa, now you're being aggressive in all the wrong ways. He's overthinking it. I think he's overthinking it. Sean Payton overthinking a lot in terms of being too aggressive, trying to slow it down. That's why Sean Payton used Taysom more and more to kind of bring it back a little bit, keep some more balls on the ground, you know, have him, you know, kind of trust the play action a little bit more, things like that. But I would say just overall imbalance, Dennis Allen, you have two conservative people in a very offensive focused league. You got teams where Chiefs are dropping 70, bro. 70 points are being dropped by, you have Patrick Mahomes out there. Like, you can't win in the trenches. You can't win a Super Bowl. This, you're just not going to do it. The Niners showed us that a few years ago against the Chiefs. You just can't do it.
Right. I agree with that. Okay. So, this is a segue back to the content creation. So, what I like about your content is, like, on each platform that's utilized, it's like it's a little something different. I like your I like your comedian videos, like you did on Instagram. Thanks, about Pete Carmichael looking for a job. It was hilarious. I was laughing so hard. So talk about, how do you come creating skits or planning out your posting on different type of platforms? Do you have type of strategy, or you just whatever you feel that moment, that day, you just do it? How does that work?
A little bit of both. So I'm super ADHD. Obviously, as you could probably tell by the conversation, I'm very passionate, but I use that to my advantage, right? And so with that, I have a lot of just, I have an idea. I have to stop everything I'm doing and go write it down. Not necessarily execute it, but if I have an idea, it's in my head, it'll be gone in 45 seconds. So I always got a notepad with me if I have an idea, or if I think of one part of an idea. I never give myself a timeline, right? So if I have an idea of something, I might say, cool, I'll build on this in 2 weeks, and I'll kind of put it in a safe place. And then on Sundays, I'm a busy guy. I got three kids. You know, I work a job where I'm traveling 3 days a week usually, so super busy. So Sundays are my content days focus. Like, love my family to death. It's a sacrifice I have to make. But on Sundays, I'm basically gone, right? It's a day of work for me. That's how I treat it. On Sundays, I wake up in the morning. I crank out posts, right, for how I'm starting my, you know, how I'm starting, you know, how we're getting people ramped up for the game. I'm making sure all my like hype videos talking about the game from the week prior. I'm making sure those TikToks are ready to go that day. And then, of course, I do my huge, I'm not sure if you saw my halftime report. So one thing, probably 20,000 of those followers are built off my halftime reports on Facebook, right? I've been doing these for 4 years. And so those are, of course, on Sundays. And then I've been doing these live post-game reactions now over on YouTube, now that I'm really building up my YouTube now. But basically, I would say outside of rapid fire when ideas hit me, Sundays are my true content focus days. I shut out the world. Where I'm in right now is actually, this is a 5x10 trailer that I converted into a portable like studio / office. And I soundproofed it. I got Saints memorabilia everywhere. And I can put it to the back of my truck and go if I want to do like an in-person charity stream, stuff like that. So when I come out here, man, this is the lab. This is the Think Lab. And on Sundays, I just try to knock it everything at once. And I schedule posts throughout the week.
I like that. I like that. I like that. Pretty much a studio on wheels. I like that.
Yeah.
You were talking about the post that you do during halftime. I wish I had it queued up, but I like the post you did this past week. He was on the roof saying you're not coming off.
I try to stay creative with it. Yeah, you got to keep it different.
Yeah, it was funny. Oh, but everybody was so pissed at that moment in time. All right. But let's talk about more of the hardware and software that's utilized to make your content creation, because a lot of people are unaware how much money it takes for equipment, software licenses, the time it takes to edit videos and stuff like that. So you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, so I love so I use OBS Studio for most of just the recording elements of it, and then I use Premiere Pro to edit. I also am a huge fan, it's very underrated. I use Adobe Rush, which is super underrated, but it's basically it's a version of Premiere Pro that you can put on your phone. So I use that for a lot of editing. And then for equipment wise, I use a Sony A6400 camera. I use I have probably 9 different mics, but I have the one I use right now is a G-Track Pro. And then we're moving back home, moving back to Mississippi. I'm out in Virginia Beach now is where I'm located. But I'm moving back to, I'm moving to Mississippi here in the next few weeks. And I have used to be a shop, an auto shop that I've kind of converted into, it's going to be like a podcast studio. And so once I get there, I'll have a few different mics and things like that. But I also do social media consulting as well. So anybody who's out there, who's interested, I could pass you my email or something like that. gaminggrunt.biz@gmail.com. I do one-on-one consulting.
Okay. Cool. All right. So so let's talk about your let's talk about your fandom for the Saints. Why New Orleans Saints of all teams? You know, like you said earlier, some people, Cowboys, 49ers, recently the Patriots. So why New Orleans Saints?
I think it's because of the meaning behind it. And I think it's because I grew up, you know, I was grew up in Slidell, right? Lost my house at Katrina. Like, I understand the resiliency that I think it's a very unique bond that I think Saints fans share, especially Saints fans from the area, because I think it's more than football. I think it's like a, if a Chiefs fan sees another Chiefs fans in public, it's nowhere near as special as me being in Houston on a business trip and I see somebody with a Saints hat. I'm going to walk up to that person and I'm going to say, who that, baby, let's go. And they're going to know what I'm talking about. There's not that uniqueness with Chiefs fans. They're everywhere, they're worldwide. It's like, well, the Saints aren't one of the largest fan bases. They're not, you're right. But they're the most, one of the most passionate in terms of not just passionate for what's on the field, but I think we're passionate for each other outside the field. You talk about the Jameis Winston thing, the Derek Carr. We'll rip each other to shreds, but then we'll also bitch together on that Bobby Hebert stream, right? Or we'll, you know, like things like that. And I think there's that bond, there's that passion, there's that family type of siblinghood that I think you don't see with other fan bases. And it goes beyond football. You know, it really does. It's about, like Gail Benson said it, I work a lot with Steph Williams. She's one of my best friends. She was fan of the year. And she always talks about this quote, leave the world better than you find it. It's always been something I've lived my life by. And I owe that a lot to the Saints. And, you know, the way that that Gail Benson and Mr. Benson have always delivered that message.
Oh, man, that's great. Yeah, I feel the same exact way. Being born and raised in New Orleans, I love the Saints. At one point, it was the only game in town. They didn't really have anything else but the book for the Saints games. So I love the Saints. So I think being a Saints fan is more, like you said, being a family member. So when you do bad, we feel bad. When you do great, yeah, we feel great. Like, I feel like the Saints reflect the city. So if the city's doing bad, Saints doing bad, it makes it much, much, much worse. All right. So let's talk about, if somebody wants to get into content creation or being a professional gamer or a streamer, whatever you want to be, a podcaster, what would be some of the do's and don'ts of them trying to get into this industry?
In your opinion? I would learn more than you teach. I think one of the number one things I would say is humble yourself, because no matter what you're bringing to the table, it doesn't matter if you have the most fancy equipment. It doesn't matter if you think you have the best personality. It doesn't matter if you think what you're bringing to the table, it's no, really, seriously, I'm special. I'm unique. Let me show you how. It's beyond that, right? It's not the fact that you have to be confident or that you have to know necessarily what separates you. It's understanding that it's a learning process. So I think if I had to deliver one key message to anybody looking to go into content, it's go into it with the mindset that you want to learn and develop yourself to get better. I wouldn't look at numbers. I wouldn't look at anything beyond just the type of content you're putting out. And then it's a self-reflection on how are you building yourself off that content. And if you can answer yourself, if you can answer that question and feel good about it, you're treading in the right direction. Everything else will fall in place. And I think it's super important to understand that there's timelines that are different for everybody. I have people who started 2 years after me that are featured on ESPN having millions of followers. And I have people who've been on this for 10 years that have a very niche specific community. Everybody has different, everybody's different. No two creators are the same. And you just have to understand that you're going to be different, right? You're going to be different, but how do you build off that?
Okay. I like that answer. I like that answer right there. Okay. So you've been doing it for a while now. So what was that moment that defined that you like, hey, yeah, I like this. I think I'm treading in the right direction. I mean, more followers. I'll go from a few hundred to 1,000, 2,000 now. So what was that moment when you realized that, hey, yeah, I'm doing something great here?
COVID. So, I mean, it's been, I mean, I can't even lie. This is something I've definitely talked about is it's the last 5 years. I mean, I think anybody can say this, it has a page. It's about who talks about it and who's not, right? It definitely had a drain on my mental health, right? You know, I say don't look at the numbers, but everybody does, right? That's the, everybody does look at numbers. So over the last 5 years, you know, I've had different things that's gone up and down. The first moment where I realized I'm going to make a go at this was COVID, right? Everything definitely during COVID. I mean, there's a lot of people. And if there's a fellow Facebook gamer or streamer that's watching this, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But during COVID, there's a lot of programs that helped out creators. There was a lot of the platform wanted to push you, right? Because they were making money off that. Everybody's at home. And it turned into, wow, like, you know, a few months ago, I was getting 5 people in my chat. Now I'm loading up. I have 350 people watching me play Madden, talk about the Saints. And then they're sending money. I mean, there's thousands of money coming in donations. And I was like, and I'm in the Army at the time. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. You know, like, this is, I could really make a go at this. And then of course there's been a lot of spikes, a lot of rises ever since then, people getting back into life, a lot of streamers step away from the industry. And instead of stepping away, I kind of looked at it as I'm going to build off it. And that's what I was talking about earlier. I want to make sure there's that identity beyond just Madden. And that's kind of where I've built it off of. And I would say what really told me was towards the end was just understanding why I got into it in the first place. So I think there was 2 times. It was when I first saw the money rolling in and it was like, wow, I'm going to do this for real. And then it was a realization of why I started in the first place. Are you familiar? I'm sure you're definitely familiar with CJ Garner Johnson. I was the director of content. He has a content team. So I was a director of content and brand partnerships for his team. And okay. I left that being with them made me realize what I didn't like about the industry. And so leaving that as well, going back to focusing back on my page has also been very, I think, liberating, man. It's been motivating.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, what are some things that you don't like about being in the streaming and podcast industry or game industry?
Just the game's trash. I think it sucks because I think a lot of video game streamers lose their identity, like I said, like in the game, where someone's not necessarily watching you for you. They're kind of watching you to learn to be better at the game. I didn't want that to be me. Like, I'm not that good at gaming. I never claimed to be. I want to provide entertainment versus like information. If you want information, we'll talk Saints. That's kind of where I'm at.
Gotcha. Okay. So what do you think is the future of your company, your business? What do you see your streaming platform going?
I would love to build off it. So I love sports in general. So, I mean, honestly, the big picture that I have is to start a whole series of Grunt Talks this. Like, so it's a lot. It's a lot I want to do. I mean, like I said, I'm ADHD. I got a long laundry list of things that I want to do over the next few years. But, you know, I have Grunt, my game of Grunt, Grunt Talks Saints. I'm a big wrestling fan. I want to eventually have Grunt Talks Wrestling. Love to have a Grunts Talk Sports where I bring on other vets and we maybe, you know, we have a company kind of like Barstool Sports, right? But more of that veteran vibe to it. And then use that to, you know, I'm very passionate about, you know, about the suicide crisis with veterans. Lost a lot of, you know, really close friends. And so I'd love to take all that and incorporate that into a nonprofit that helps with, that connects gaming and sports to veterans who might be struggling with some mental health issues. Because I get it.
Oh, man. I appreciate that, man. Yeah, that's what's up. I like that. All right, man. I appreciate your time, man. Let the people know where they can follow you at. I'm also going to post it in the notes as well, where they can follow you at, where they can watch you play and stuff like that, all your platforms.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Yeah, so definitely make it a huge push and a huge pivot into YouTube. So if you're watching, you enjoy the podcast, you want to show love, it would mean the world to me. Started this YouTube about a month ago. So really trying to build it up. So you can find me on YouTube.com, of course, and that's /@ Grunt Talk Saints, or you could just look me up, Grunt, like Gaming Grunt, GRUNT, Talk Saints. Our biggest platform's Facebook, where I got it all started. That's facebook.com/the.g.grunt, or they could just look me up, The Gaming Grunt on Facebook. Also on Instagram, Grunt Talk Saints on TikTok, and then also The Gaming Grunt on Twitter, or X.
All right. I appreciate your time, man. Please, everyone, make sure you subscribe, like, follow, and share this episode. Also, we are now on Patreon. So if you're looking to get on Patreon, it's Patreon, The Lang of Legends. Not hard to find there. Before you go, you got a last minute any predictions for the score this Sunday?
Yeah, you know, if you ask me, here's the thing. Every week, I think if every prediction I'm going in with, it's like, all right, this week, the offense gets it started because they have to. It's wishful thinking. This week, I'm going to go on the other side. I'm going to say the offense struggles again, but the defense hold it down. And I think the defense has a powwow. DeMario Davis brings in the clan. Defense gets it done this week against the New England Patriots. We leave 3-2. I'm going to put a score, though. I don't think the Saints touch 20. Again, I think it's going to be 17 points Saints. And I can see another low scoring outing from the Patriots. I'll say 3 field goals. So we'll go 17-9 Saints.
17-9 Saints. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. 17-9 Saints. What I might go with that score. I think it's gonna be. I think I agree with that. Maybe 17-10 Saints. But I think Carmichael is feeling pressure now.
It's gonna go one way. Pressure makes diamonds, right? Pressure makes diamonds, or it destroys you, right?
Right. I think he's gonna call the whole game. He'd be like, "Who the hell calling these?" especially since Kamara came back his first game. He already playing, and that was crazy.
Yeah, we had 14. I think he had 14, 15 receptions. I think the over under was like 5, and he came in with like 14 receptions. But like what you said, we'll see what he does with Taysom. I don't mind him using Taysom. Only because we pay him $10 million a year to run into people, so I want him to earn his paycheck. But yeah, I get it. It's becoming. It can't also serve as like a fail-safe button. I'm getting pretty tired of we can't get any yards to put Taysom in, and that's kind of as long as I don't see that this week, I'll be happy.
Right. And so you think they still gonna keep Derek Carr in? Because looking at last week's game, you could tell Derek Carr still hurting. Do you think they're going to keep him as a starting quarterback, which I don't think they should. They should just let Winston start this week and let him heal up. So what do you think about that?
I think Derek Carr plays. If anything, if we learned anything from last year, it was following that Cardinals primetime loss where Andy Dalton looked terrible. And then Dennis Allen seemed to – basically, I'd rather lose than be wrong. Is kind of, if I could describe Dennis Allen in a few words or in one sentence, I think he'd rather lose than be wrong. So – though I want to say, yeah, rest Derek Carr, put Jameis in for a week or two, and you'll see what happens because the play calling ain't trash is trash anyway. No, he'll leave him out there. Mm-hmm. I think he'll put him out there on crutches before he bench him. Yep.
I agree with that statement. All right, man. All right, man. We're going to do this again, man, because I like your content. I like how you broadcast during the game, stuff like that. I'm probably going to bring you on here so we can talk about the Saints again because I know – we're going to be complaining about something this past game, unless there's a huge, huge improvement. What are your thoughts? Where you go? What are your thoughts for our record for the season? Our final record.
So,
do you think we make the playoffs?
Yeah, so I had, I was actually kind of faded the public going in. My record prediction for the Saints this year was 9 wins, 9-10. I didn't expect, like, people coming in, oh, we're going to get 12, 13 wins. I'm like, it'll start slow. We'll probably get 9 or 10. Like, Falcons are going to scrap this year. No one listened to me. I didn't think the Bucs would, but I said Falcons will scrap this year. The whole division's going to scrap. People saying the NFC South is going to be the worst division in the league, don't know football, don't know the owners of the teams. NFC South has the most aggressive owners. Like, we might be a very conservative team. Our owners are pretty aggressive. Like, if they want somebody, look at Deshaun Watson last year. That should show you, right? Or year before last, whatever it was, Deshaun Watson all blends together now. But there's aggression there. You know what I mean? So, I don't know.
All right, man. Well, thank you for coming on the show. Appreciate it, man. Make sure y'all subscribe, follow, like, and share this. Shout out to Zach French, the Gaming Grunt. Watch him. Check out his platforms. Thank you. We out.
Appreciate it, man. We got to get you on board. I want to mine as well, too, brother. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. You could definitely bring me on when you're doing the Saints Live thing on halftime because I definitely want to give my full opinion, and it won't be pretty.
if there's one thing that's like the real why I do it is to give everybody a platform, man. I think it's probably the same reason you do what you do.
Yes. I like having people on who impact the community from my area and like show love. So that's why I created this platform.
Cool, man. Looking to do more work with you in the future, brother. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Peace.